The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priests could lawfully eat, then shared it with his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This is why the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" The Gospel of the Lord. St. John of the Cross said, "One obtains from God as much as one hopes for." One obtains from God as much as one hopes for. In our first letter, the letter to the Hebrews, there's an interesting line that is easy to overlook. St. Paul, or whoever wrote the letter to the Hebrews, said, "We earnestly desire that each of you," writing to all of us, "each of you demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end, so that you may not become sluggish." When do we become sluggish in our spiritual life? It's when our hope wanes. And you know, it's so interesting. So the three theological virtues, those virtues which most unite us to God, faith, hope, and charity. You oftentimes hear people say, "Gosh, I need to practice charity more. I need to grow in the virtue of faith." Seldom do you hear people say that about hope. It's like the forgotten of the theological virtues. And yet all of those virtues increase together or they decrease together. And so we're called to be people of hope and to practice that virtue. So how does hope work in the spiritual life? So those three virtues, they relate to the three faculties of the soul: the intellect, the will, and the memory. So charity goes with the will, faith goes with our intellects, and hope with our memories. And so how does hope function? So it's our memories that actually hold us back from venturing out in hope. So when we have memories from the past of ways that we were fallen or things that were done to us, they prevent us from putting our hope in God because we say, "Oh my gosh, that happened to me in the past. Can I really trust God? You know, I fell in that way beforehand. Can I make this act of surrender?" Or interestingly, also it pertains to hopes in the future. So not also memories from the past, but when we put our hopes in things of this world, "Gosh, I hope that this happens or that happens or that I obtain so and so," and those aren't fulfilled, there's the tendency to get angry with God. "Why didn't you let that happen?" The virtue of hope teaches us our hope should be first and foremost in God and eternal life. And when our hope is grounded there, when we don't obtain the things of this world, we will not become sad or angry or frustrated, because that's not where our heart's desires are anyway. "We earnestly desire that each of you demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end, so that you may not become sluggish." Let's ask our Lord that we might increase in the virtue of hope.